Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us on the line is a Crispin Ferry spokesperson at the Ministry of Justice and Correctional Services. A very, very good morning. Thanks for speaking to us so bright and early. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Thank you very much. And good morning to our listeners.
So it's become a very, very complicated story. And most of us, Or even those of us who are very sensitive to what is said out in public and even privately, but what is said out there, what is written out there, are aware of it, but many people are not. And the question is, do they have the ability to get somebody else into trouble through their actions? Take us through some of the difficulties and the challenges around this area and where this is ultimately leading.
Ultimately, what we want to do is to ensure that we don't live in a society where people are unfairly discriminated against. And then we think that, to some extent, this is an obligation that involves everybody in the country, because you know that this is Section 9 of our Constitution does require equality across the board, but also Section 2 of the Constitution does say that it's the supreme law of the country. And one of the things that we have seen over the years is that we cannot rely just on law enforcement to implement the law. I think we all have an obligation to implement the laws to some extent. And what we're seeing over the years with the use of social media and other platforms is that people are able to then really say important things, problematic things rather.
Yes.
Using sometimes work platforms, sometimes using certain platforms which are accessible to everybody, but somehow we're not able to just rein in certain individuals. And sometimes people then also say problematic things to individuals, even in the workplace. And you find that to some extent that is not regulated by the proper laws in the workplace itself. So in this instance, that's what Kapuda is now trying to correct, so that we're able to comprehensively deal with unfair discrimination also in the workplace, by ensuring that we're able to, right, to rein in certain types of conduct. So essentially, we hope that we will also get people to comment on Kapuda. What we have done now is we've published it for the public to comment on. And we hope that we'll be able to really rein in some of the problematic conduct that we're seeing in society in general, but also in the workplace. And we hope that this will really, really assist to bring about some level of coordination, but also some level of responsibility in our society.
Right. What is difficult is you obviously can't control everything that every employee says. And somebody might say something that they think is funny, but in fact is offensive. And you don't want to create a work environment that people can't speak to each other because they're so nervous that, that something could go wrong. So, I guess at the end of the day, a lot of this is about creating a healthy work environment where people are made aware of issues of sensitivity, of issues around race and gender and all the other areas where we traditionally can get ourselves into some discriminate against somebody or hurt somebody. But if somebody does, for example, say something discriminatory and there hasn't been a history of it with this particular company or with that particular person, can the company still be held liable for them in terms of your thinking around this?
Well, let's just also be clear that especially there's a general responsibility to promote equality.
Absolutely.
And eliminate
Absolutely.
Discrimination, right?
Yes, and create a healthy environment. That is the responsibility of the employer. There's no question in my mind.
Indeed. So also then we need to ensure that we don't create an environment where discrimination can be considered to be funny. And I think that's quite important, because there are some things that are just not funny. So for instance, you can't call another human being a monkey.
Right,
and
right.
Think it's funny. We just don't live in a society like that.
100%.
And so such a duty can be imposed on everyone. But in this instance, one of the special measures that are being taken to promote equality with regard to particularly race and gender is then also imposed in the workplace. Because to some extent, what you do see is not necessarily discrimination in word form, but discrimination in action as well. So you would find that to some extent an employer does not promote somebody with the same level of qualifications, and everyone has got to go through the same process, but instead he promotes a male instead of promoting a female. That can be a form of discrimination, and that too needs to be regulated. And that also then violates the equality principle. So that's the level of discrimination we're speaking of in that instance, and that's what we seek to regulate. But of course, freedom of expression is freedom of expression, and that itself will be regulated by the hate speech bill and the hate crimes bill, which is currently put before Parliament. But the type of discrimination here we're looking at is a different kind of discrimination, where even in workplace activities, you find that people are disadvantaged on the grounds of race and gender inexplicably. Because I must stress that discrimination to some extent can be condoned, but there has to be a rational basis for it. So for instance, you could say, because we have no women on the board, we are only looking for a woman candidate now. That's a justified.
I see what you mean. I was going to ask you what that means.
Yeah. But you wouldn't be able to say, no, we are not appointing you because you're a woman, and women are going to fall pregnant, and you'll not come to work during maternity leave, and it just doesn't make sense for me to appoint women. Which is, by the way, some of the things we do see in the workplace and in our society, people believing that appointing women really sets you back. So to some extent, that women are unappointable. So those are the type of things that we seek to correct, the prevention of unfair discrimination, but also the promotion of equality on the other end.
What's so interesting for me, and what is such a huge challenge that certainly I've dealt with in many a work environment, is when people come from different backgrounds and ages. So what do I mean by that is my parents or my late father in business would have just shaken his head at all of this and said, this is all nonsense. He would have never considered himself necessarily somebody who would discriminate, but I can tell you he would have, and he would have exactly that comment around women and women fall pregnant, and in his mind there was no way, because he came from another generation, there was no way to convince this guy that what he was doing was unfair, discriminatory, etc. And I'm just using an example very close to me in terms of my own family, because I recall having some of these very frustrating conversations with him. But he's just, you know, he's just an example, let's say, of a different type of a mindset. And what we're trying to do here, and what you're trying to do, which I get, and I'm fully supportive of, is trying to get everybody onto a page that says, you know what might have been is that, and maybe in your world or where you came from or your generation, it was tolerable. Today, this isn't. But that really does mean that we have to work extremely hard, as employers and as company cultures, to rewrite this and say, this is what it is today, and this is our aspiration. It's not easy.
Yeah, this is what it means to live in a constitutional democracy. It means that we need to think hard, and we need to think deeply about our surroundings. So for instance, if you walk into a room and all you see is men, you should be able to ask yourself,
100%.
How is that possible in a constitutional democracy?
Yeah.
How is it that this group is not diverse? Because we say that we are all equal before the law. And we know that. In fact, for instance, I am in the legal profession. By way of example, one of the interesting things and the most disturbing things that we see in the legal profession is that in law school, you find a lot of women doing very well in the class. And ultimately, a lot of women actually graduate more than men. But when you come into practice, you don't find the women. And one of the questions is, why is that?
Why?
What has happened to those women? And of course, then you can then even make certain arguments across racial lines.
Yes, of course.
Why are some professions just, what we can say, just lily white? Or what is happening 100%. In society? And what happens to those professionals? Because we would know that they're well qualified. They've done what is necessary. Is an underlying and sometimes indirect form of indiscrimination, as you would say. Some practices have come over the years, and people are sort of unconscious of their discriminatory effect. And so And then there's no recourse for people in law because of these unconscious biases. But at least now, if we have the legislation in place, we are able to really enforce Section 9 of our Constitution. We are able to give it meaning. And that's one of the things that we will be looking at a lot over the next year or so. Our Constitution has turned 25 years. It's been 25 years since former President Ramaphosa, actually, at the time he was the chairperson of the Constituent Assembly, introduced the Constitution into Parliament for it to be adopted by the Constituent Assembly. At that time, it was called Parliament. Yeah. So it's been 25 years, and one of the things that we really need to constantly ask ourselves is it just a book with words in it, or does it have real meaning in people's lives? And this is one of the ways that this administration is trying to deepen the Constitution in people's lives. So Section 9, the right to equality, can't just be in the Constitution. It must be felt in every sphere of society, and this is one of the ways to deepen it.
I think that's absolutely amazing. It can't just be the words. If we don't live it, then it just sounds lovely, but it's pretty much useless. That is where we have to leave it. It is 6:58. Crispin Aperi, spokesperson at the Ministry of Justice and Correctional Services, thank you for taking the time to speak to us.